Yeah, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, your children are here. Each of us, you know what we've been through in life and where we are today. May you speak to our heart and my heart be tender to receive your word so that we can turn to you to do what you desire us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The theme for today is the invisible skill. The invisible skill. Every system has its own way to measure value of what of important. I think in school, teachers use grades to measure whether these students are good students, performing students. In company, they use profits to see whether is this company worth investing, to have the prospect. In social media, you use likes. How many likes do you have to determine how popular this person is? So, and we assume that what can be measured is what matter. But what if the most important things in life are measured by skills that no one can see? When people count offering at the end of all the services, people go back to do the counting and the offering, and we can count the numbers, can add out the total, and we see different people are very generous. But there's one number that we cannot count, we cannot see also. And that is, what is the cost behind it? When every amount is being offered, what is the cost behind them? You see, two people can give the same amount, and the amount can be huge, but this huge amount can mean nothing much to that person. But to another person, the same amount can mean a lot for the other person. So in God's economy, the visible amount is not the true measurement that God sees. What is invisible is actually what God sees. So in today's passage, we're going to talk about these 3 points. The invisible skill, how God sees our giving, why we really give, and what are we actually giving. So before that, we need to understand the context of the scripture before we read the context, the text. So during the time of Christ, the temple was in the process of rebuilding. We know that the temple had been destroyed, so it had been rebuilt in the process of length of 80 years. So King Herod started this project, and so sometimes the temple was called under Herod's temple. So this is one of the biggest structures in the world during that time. It's of huge beauty and splendor compared to any building, any structures in the world. So it's seated at a hilltop. From far away, you can see the temple. So the temple, the wall is measured about 45 meters, which is about 15 story high compared to Singapore. So the land was so huge, the temple was so huge, it can contain 26 football fields. So such a grand project, it is very expensive and it requires a lot of money. So in Singapore context, probably I'm not sure who worked in this such land development. So such project is about billions over dollar. I'm not sure about our gold sand, how much it costs to build a gold sand. I think it's also $1 billion. So I think this costs more than $1 billion, more expensive than the gold sand building. So at the east side of this temple, there is an area called the Court of Women, where they have this treasury. They got 13 collection boxes placed there. Each of these collection boxes are designated for different needs at that time. So this is how the collection boxes look like. Below is a box where you put collection offering, just like what we had behind. But above the box, there is a trumpet-shaped metal shaft. I'm not sure how do you call that. A trumpet-shaped metal shaft. So it's where you put your coins inside. When you throw your coins in, you'll hear. What do you hear? You'll go to jackpot before, you'll pull the jackpot, or pretend didn't go, huh? I also didn't do it. I just watched a movie. You'll pull the jackpot when you win, you strike the lottery, you are ding, 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 all the money, all the coin hit. It's the same thing. You throw the coins inside, you hear from the trumpet of this collection, what the chef, there's a loud noise when you throw a huge amount. So the louder it is, people will know how much or how much you're given. So this took place in the last week of Jesus' time. So Jesus was about to go through to the cross within this week. So during this time, the Jews travel all around, coming to this temple to celebrate Passover, and many pilgrims came here to pay taxes and also offer donation. So I think this is a setting we need to have in mind before we jump into the text. So with this in mind, let's look at what it says. How God sees our giving. Verse 41, while everybody is doing the offering there, Jesus did something interesting. He was not teaching, he was not worshipping, he was doing nothing, but just sitting there and watch. What did Jesus see? He sees two groups of people, one a very rich man, the other is poor widow. So the rich man were casting their coins noisily into the trumpet-shaped chest box. Then another poor widow came to make her donation. So it is a huge contrast. When the poor widow came under this grand building, you can see the contrast behind it. The widow offered all she had. And the Bible mentioned that it's a two small coins. Two small coins is about average 12 minutes of a work pay. 12 minutes of work pay of the labor for two small coins. So over here, we can see the contrast. Actually, if you read through these verses, there are a lot of contrast here. Rich man and poor widow. A grand, beautiful temple and a shabby widow. $1 million mega project's budget. But 2 cents or 2 coins. Try to imagine me as you enter this scene. When the rich offer their offering inside the trumpet thing, it brings a loud noise. You feel good when you throw in the coins. You feel good. Because why? People know that you offer a lot. But if you are the widow, you got 2 coins you want to offer, you don't feel good about doing that. Because everybody around seems to throw a lot of coins inside. But only you as a widow, you only put 2 small coins. You feel embarrassed. And probably the last thing this poor widow wanted was for anyone to even to notice her. Actually, this poor widow has no idea of the spiritual worth of these 2 small coins. This poor widow even don't have an idea that Jesus was secretly watching her. She got no idea that even Jesus bring along his disciple to use her as an illustration to teach a lesson. This widow got no idea that the amount that the rich man gave to build this temple, in 40 years later, this temple will be destroyed. Such a grand project, so much money invested in it, this temple will still be destroyed 40 years later. Even though the temple is being destroyed, this poor widow don't have even an idea that her legacy of 2 cents still passed on and became a part of the gospel story which is being preached on even until today. You see, many of us, when we do certain things, we don't have an idea. The little things that we do, we're not sure what impact or how long will it last. And this thing reminds us not to look at things from the world's perspective, but in God's perspective. You see, we live in this age where we esteem those spectacular, those flashy, those big things. Everybody trying to do something great, something purposeful, something huge, spectacular, so that we want to put on our social media to get more likes from people, so that people can praise us for the things that we have done. Just like the rich, when they offer the huge noise, they make them feel good. Sometimes, we may be like these women. We feel that we are not as rich enough. We feel that we are not as gifted enough. We feel that we are not good enough. That's why we hid our 2 little coins. We feel embarrassed to give it. Because there are so many so-called rich people, talented people, gifted people around me. So we hid our two coins. But this poor widow, even though people around her are so rich, she still offer what others may seem insignificant. But what Jesus sees is what really matters. So with that grand mega temple project, the widow still offer her two small coins. Where in your life that you feel small, you feel unnoticed, overlooked, or inadequate, that you have really withheld it from offering to God? Sometimes we withheld it, withhold it because we feel that it's so insignificant. But Jesus sees the value where the world sees insignificance. Imagine next time when you offer whether money, your time or service, you need to know Jesus was sitting there. Without you knowing, He is watching. Jesus is watching even though no one sees. We've seen how God sees our giving, the hidden skill. I think it's the heart behind the coin. Now we turn the mirror to ourselves. We move on into something more personal. We ask the question, why? Why do we really give? Why do we really give? In the temple of that day, people of that time, they have the theology. They believe every rich man are favored by God. Every rich man are favored by God. God blessed them. That's why they are so rich. God loved these people. These are holy people. That's why they are rich. And this is their belief system. So when the rich man came to give offering, they thought that this offering, I can make such a huge offering, therefore I must be a righteous, a godly man. So the temple also has a way to magnify this whole thing. That's why they made the chef in a trumpet-like matter, so that when you offer in huge amount, the temple benefited from the huge amount of offering. At the same time, the rich also gain esteem and honor from people. So it's a win-win situation. The temple gain a lot from these rich people. At the same time, the rich gain honor from how people see them as godly people. So the allowed offering is what Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 6. Let's read Matthew 6 together. 1, 2, 3. I think in a sense, generosity is good. I think big offering is not something evil. But what Jesus is telling us here is that this visible generosity does not automatically say that your heart is right with God. Or does it equate your heart is right before God? You see, we can offer huge sum to God, but our heart may not be right. I'm not sure whether you watch news, I think internet, there's a lot of things that scandal that shake the Western side of the world. Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. If you follow the news, you know in this, I'm not sure in English, called where they send children and young ladies over to use it as a political scandals to so-called control. This is what they say. I'm not sure how real it is. But this is how the politician so-called patronize this island to enjoy themselves. And among them, there's one called Bill Gates. Everybody know him. The Microsoft we are using, Bill Gates. Bill Gates has been famous in giving a lot to help the needy, to fight disease, the poverty. And he's an extraordinary, generous people to give billions. But when this picture came to light, 2019, when they saw the picture of Jeffrey and Bill Gates taking the picture together, they asked the question, how can the same person give so much to good at the same time that walk so closely with the evil person? I think at this moment, we do not want to jump in the conclusion that Bill Gates is involved in this and that. The evidence is not out there yet. We do not know the heart of Bill Gates, and we do not want to negate his giving to say that it's worthless. But I think we want to also want to agree that his giving in a way help to save life. But I think this serves as an example for us. You can give a lot, you can do a lot of good. Visible generosity does not equate to righteousness. That doesn't equate that your heart is right before God. So what should look huge on the outside may be something hidden inside that's broken and ugly. It is in his life and also same in our life. Let's read the verse here. Let's read this verse. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Bill Gates gave so much to help, but yet at the same time, if he patronized this party to abuse the young, the helpless, it speaks a lot. There's something that's not right here. So God looks at the heart first. Religious act of giving, worship, and sacrifices are good only when it flows from a heart that is love, obedience, and mercy. Only when your heart is right, then the righteousness, then the religious act means something. Without a right heart, the external action is empty. Lastly, what are we actually giving? What are we actually giving? We talk about why are we giving, and the final point is what are we giving? If we read the text plainly, we thought that Jesus is inspiring us to follow the widow's example. We give everything. We leave no provision for family, no future plan, saving for your future plan. Is this the case? I think Jesus in the text did not say, go and do likewise. And for this, we feel so relieved. He said, go and do likewise. We all struggle to give up everything to church. But instead, the scriptures say this thing. Let's read 1 Timothy 1, 2, 3. So at the same time, we also have to provide for family. So Jesus is not telling us, advocating, you have to give up everything for God in order to follow him. So the essence of the text here is not about giving money. It's not about giving money. I think the core of this is that the religion system of that time celebrated by the wrong scale. They used a scale of visibility, of total amount to measure goodness. Whereas Jesus used an invisible scale, what it actually costs that nobody sees, what actually costs a person to give in terms of trust and surrenderedness. What is the cost of your gift that require your trust of faith and surrenderedness? Let's look at the verse that later be explained here. Verse 44, there is a lot of a contrast here. They all gave out of their wealth, but the widow gave out of her poverty. The word out of her wealth or out of their wealth, literally it means that which is left over. The Chinese translation is clearer. 自己剩余的. Or the other translation, they use the word surplus. So we may want to ask the question, is it wrong to give from surplus? I think all of us here, when we give our tithing, is also from your surplus. It's never that you give everything. I don't think any of us here give everything. We give from our surplus. So actually, it's nothing wrong to give from our surplus. But the word there, I think the Chinese translation speak more into that. 自己剩余的. What does it mean? I think a few years ago, Agape got this family celebration. I'm not sure whether you recall this. We have a video clip of different children talking about what their parents' favorite food. One child said that her dad's favorite food is, I'm not sure you recall. She said, leftover food. Can you remember that video? Very cute little girl said, my dad's favorite food is leftover food. Who love leftover food here? I don't think anybody like leftover food. I think the reason the video left an impression on me because I felt that the dad is not loving the leftover food is because they want to waste so the dad finish the food. But I think the key thing behind, the child never offer her best thing to the parents. The child is always receiving. That's why the child is normal in the sense, I would say normal. The children normally won't think for their parents. It's always a parent thing for the children. Give the best to the children. Children seldom give their best to the children. Even their favorite food is left over from the children. Correct? If your parents probably can understand this better. So I think it speaks a lot. Sen yu yi de. Things that you do not want, things that you have left over, you give it to God. I think this is the essence the rich give. They give their unwanted one. This can be nothing much to me. I give it away. I think this is the spirit of the rich man here, of their unwanted, their 剩余的. Is that what we give to God? Our unwanted, our surplus, that it don't cost anything to us. A man date a woman, and after some months of dating, she want to propose to her and give her a rose. But this lady is not ready for this man and rejected the rose. The man felt rejected. He feel, it's such a waste to throw the rose away. Then he see another girl. Hey, this girl look nice. I propose to her. This is unwanted. It's not first of all prepared specially for this lady. Will the lady, knowing all this, will accept the rose? No. Because it's unwanted. It's because someone rejected. Then you pass this to me. Nobody will accept it. Because it is unwanted. And this is how truly it is. We give our unwanted, our leftover to God, our leftover time, our leftover energy, our leftover whatever, convenience. Then we give it to God. If it is inconvenience to me, I will not give it. Because only when there's convenience left over, then will I give it to God. But this widow gave something more than us. I think it brings a challenge to us. Does my giving cost you anything? If it costs you something, that means it is more than your unwanted. If your giving requires faith, then it is more than your unwanted. Jesus brought these two comparisons here. The rich man and poor widow's offering. I think it is a heart posture that Jesus saw. The rich gave their surplus with much of the security they are still holding on. But the widow gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. The widow gave everything. Everything includes her food security, her security for tomorrow, tomorrow's provision, the economic control. She actually placed her survival in God's hand. And this is not just a symbolic giving. It is a total surrender and trust. A total surrender and trust. So God will not ask how much you have given, but it is a posture of the heart when you give. How much trust and how much cost is in it? If not, it is just your unwanted, your leftover. Jesus sees the unseen. The rich man gave things. The poor widow gave her life. I think generosity is not never about money. Generosity is never about money. I think it's about surrender. It's about surrender. And we give. We are not just transferring our currency. It's declaring, it's leading where your heart is. There your treasure lies. So the real gift is not about the coin. The real gift is actually control. Are you willing to give your control to God? The poor widow gave out her last meal worth and said, God, you're my provider, not this money. I think you want to clarify, today we are not advocating everybody to empty your bank, saving account and pour to church. Yeah, we are not advocating that. But I think maybe today God is asking to surrender something. Something that you hold on so tightly. It can be money. It can be. Because this is where you find security. Secondly, also can be a relationship that you're controlling. Even a future that you're protecting or even a career that you have planned for, that you're holding on so tight. The woman is giving the money, but what she's giving is actually control. Control to God. So what would it look like for you to give something that's genuinely threatened your sense of security or control? What would be something for you to offer that looks like, that holds your security in your life right now? I think at the end of this text, you want to bring back to what the altar placed. This is happened in the last week of Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross. I think this widow, in a way, foreshadowed Christ by self-emptying herself for the temple. She gave up everything, her livings, and Christ at the same time also gives up his life. The widow, in a sense, mirrors the cross that Jesus is about to bear for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his life for us. And this is the invisible scale that made visible on the cross, where we can see and feel and touch the cross that Jesus died there for us. Jesus, the widow gave from her poverty, but Jesus gave from her infinite riches and made himself poor for all of us. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. Because Jesus is rich, heavenly rich, he became poor for us. It's because of this reason, we can never outgive God. So it's never about how much you are giving to God. Because he has first given to you everything that he has, his life. Your salvation is precious because it cost the life of the Son of God. And I think this is overall the gospel, that we can never outgive God. God has already given us his life. So it's not about $2 or even $2 million. Because God already given us the best, his Son, for us. So the question is not, how much should I give? I think the question is, has the cross reshaped what you are actually giving? Has the cross reshaped what are you actually giving? It's more than money. It's more than money. But what is the heart posture behind the money, the time, the service you're giving? Let's come before the Lord in silence and in prayer and response to him. What is God speaking to you today? I invite the worship team to prepare our heart. There is an invisible scale that God used to measure. Not the noises of our offering that's being thrown inside the offering box, but about surrenderness. Not about the huge amount of money we offer, but the trust. Are you giving that will cost you something that made you to trust God for his provision, rather than you still want to hold on to it? God has given his life to you. Has that reshaped what you're actually giving today? Sing this song, let the words, the lyrics of this song minister to our heart.
想要不能献上一生，我生命之爱都献给你，所有一切都是。
reveal to you what is something that you see as your most beloved. You're not willing to offer it to God. It's more than your tithing. Because behind the tithe, the posture of the heart, that is something that we hold, that you're not willing to give it to Him. This widow has given all, everything, because she trusted the Lord. She surrendered before the Lord. Is there something that we've held from God? You may do your duties or giving your tithes, but there's fear in you or the future or something beyond your control. You're still holding on to it. Abraham has given his beloved son. God has given his beloved son Jesus to all of us here. He's asking you, more than just your tithe, are you willing to trust him more? Are you willing to surrender before him? To surrender your control. To surrender your desire. The widow had offered everything. Everything. And it is what God wants you today. Are you willing to offer to God? It's not about generosity. It's not about money. There's something in your heart that God wants you to offer to him. Isaac, let us offer our own little Isaac in our heart. Offer it to God. Let's rise and sing.